Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to IWDM Radio. The program you are about to hear is a community service program on IWDM Radio. Please note, this content is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, legal, professional, or financial counsel or advice, and no liability shall extend to the hosts, guests, or agents with IWDM or Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio is not endorsed, sponsored, or certified by any third-party agency. Thank you for listening.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Rashid Salam, your engineer for tonight's show of The True Love Recipe. This learning lab is designed to provide our listening audience to, and put them in the learning mode and help tune in to what focuses on, what examines the sound approaches to a finding a mate, the do's and the don'ts, and the prescription for maintaining a successful, tranquil, growth-filled marriage. I want to thank you this evening for joining us in the Learning Lab of Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. I bring to you your host for tonight's show, Mark Shaheed. As-salamu alaykum, Mark.
Alaykum as-salam to you, Rashid Salam, and to our very distinguished and esteemed radio listening audience here at IWDM Radio. As always, I'd like to begin with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbi Alameen. Ashhadu an ilaha illallah wa la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mubarak. That is, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All the praise and thanks belongs to Allah, the nourisher, the sustainer, the guardian evolver of all systems of knowledge. We witness that there is none to be served nor worshipped except for one, Allah alone, and that he has no partners nor associates in his rule. We further witness that Muhammad ibn Abdullah, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed the seal of the prophets, and he is Allah's humble servant and his noble messenger. And what follows in an excellent salutation to prayers and peace be upon the prophet. I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host and producer of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night right here on IWDM Radio. And I would like to say to all of those who have tuned in to listen in, we want you to know that this, in fact, is your learning lab. I'm also aware of the fact that there are many that listen in to IWDM Radio and the different platforms that we have here on IWDM Radio. And you are invited also to call in and to ask questions or make comments on the information that will be disseminated tonight, or any question pertaining to the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage. And we want to just say, please bring an open mind and an open heart to the learning lab, and those are going to be two qualities and characteristics that we're going to look into tonight. But also, the only tools you need is a sharp pencil or an ink pen and notebook paper, because we believe that something noteworthy will be said tonight, and you'll be able to jot it down to ask the question, to get more insight, or you might just want to add something to what is disseminated tonight. So those who listen in by way of the Internet, you do have to call into the studio, and that number is 714-816-4673. Once again, that's 714-816-4673. And you press 1. And my engineer, Rashid Salam, will notify me that you have your hand up. That lets him know, and also let me know that you have a question or you have a comment that you like to make. And we also like to hear from those of you who may be silent most of the time, but if there is information, education that actually resonates with you, we would like to hear from you, and you can do the same by pressing 1 and just sharing in general or specifically what it is that resonates with you. We want you to know that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab just completed last week its 8th anniversary. Its 8th anniversary. And we want you to know also that the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab actually has a foundation where we utilize three main sources. I didn't say resources, three main sources. The first being Al-Quran, the final revelation for all of humanity. And the second source is the life example of the prophet in living the Quran, the demonstration of the Quran in his lifetime. And third, the tafsir. Tafsir being the clear explanation by our scholarly teacher and leader, Imam Warithuddin Muhammad, of the Quran and the life example of the prophet in demonstrating the Quran. These three vital components, they comprise the foundation for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, as we also use those in the Sister Learning Lab, the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, for disseminating information and education. We also want you to know that last week we had an outstanding panel that joined us in celebrating our 8th anniversary of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. It started with our sister station, AM 360, radio AM 360, all the way back October the 13th in the year 2015. So we say alhamdulillah that the praise and the thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, and there have been many that have been a part of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and just want to just thank Allah first and foremost, but those who have been participants and have helped to sustain and maintain this production, because it's so vitally important, so important, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, it is one half of the deen. It's one half of the religion. Now just think about all the things that we will see as being important, but the Prophet has said it's one half of the deen. That's something to really, really think about. And there was a lot of great information that was disseminated by the very distinguished, esteemed panel that was assembled last week, you know, starting with our brother William Kareem. He was a part of the panel, the executive producer of A New Day of Islam Community Radio. He was part of the panel. Imam Nazim Pasha, who was formerly a colleague on AM 360 when I was there, but now here on IWDM Radio, hosting ABC, Al-Islam-based conversation. He was a part of the panel. Also, Imam Yahya Furqan out of Kansas City, along with his wife, Zakiya Furqan, educator, was a part of the panel. And last but not least, our beloved sister, from our sister station, AM 360, joined us also too, and she will be with us tonight, and that's none other than Sister Akbar, joined us last week, and they disseminated a lot of great information, and so if you want to go back in the archives and listen to it in its entirety, that would be what I would suggest. One of the things that was talked about in terms of the questions that I had in terms of the foundation for the sacred institution of marriage, I think they all did an excellent job in terms of how they saw what was foundational. One of the things that I shared, and I think should be noteworthy, that all relationships are based on your relationship with your Lord and Creator. It becomes the foundation not only for husband-wife relationship, it becomes the foundation for family relationship, it becomes the foundation for neighbor relationships, it becomes the foundation for community relationships, it becomes the foundation for business relationships, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Very, very important, because your relationship and my relationship with Almighty God, Allah, is that of servant to master, servant to master. And so in understanding our role and our responsibility in our relationship to our Lord and Creator, this is where we get the guidance. The guidance coming from the Quran is this is the communication Allah to us. And it helps to shape and form the character that we exemplify. So, or you will see the best spouse if, in fact, that is foundational for you. You will see the best father, the best mother, the best husband, the best wife. You will see the best family member. You see the best neighbor. You see the best community member. You see the best human being if, in fact, that becomes foundation, that your foundation, your relationship with your Lord and Creator. Very important. This is why the Prophet Muhammad said, out of the four reasons why one would marry, why being God conscious was the most important, and he prioritized that. This is so very important to know and understand, because that becomes the mate. What becomes the mate? And the prophet said, and let them in the other half be conscious, regardful of him. So when we look at 50% or half of the religion in terms of the sacred institution of marriage being one half, it becomes the social responsibility, the social aspect of the deen. And taqwa becomes the spiritual responsibility that it is that we have. And those two together comprise the whole of the religion of al-Islam. Very, very important. So please go back, listen to it in its entirety. The panel did an outstanding job, a lot of gold nuggets, I would say, that was disseminated. So I'm so happy tonight to have as our special facilitator tonight, our beloved Sister Khalida Akbar of our sister station, AM360. She did an outstanding job in all the questions, all the participants, in terms of answering those questions I thought was very, very pertinent questions, very, very relative questions that should be asked to really understand this sacred institution. And it's a sacred institution because Allah established it and its purpose. Sometimes we can't really value things until we know and understand its purpose. And it has a purpose. And it's the purpose that Allah defines it and gives to it in actually establishing it. And the destiny that the human being is seeking in this life, toward the end of this life as we know it in the Akhirah, the life to come. This is so important that we often bring it up in really getting with the right mate and having the right relationship. So tonight we're going to be exploring the true love recipe, and this is my own personal recipe, as Allah has blessed me years ago, and I'm looking at putting this in a book, inshallah, by next year, to have it put in a publication. And when we talk about love, we want you to know that it has its foundation too. And as we say, assalamu alaikum, it's assalam, is one of the 99 known attributes of Allah, meaning that he is the source of peace. Well, Allah is also the source of love. He's the source of love. And with the right mate, soulmate, that ultimately would be your teammate, your workmate, your love mate, then he will put the love and the mercy and compassion between your hearts. And Allah says, verily, in that are signs for those who reflect. So there's a lot to reflect upon in regards to that, because the motivation is already inscribed in the fitra, the original nature. What do you mean? It's already there. The inclination to want to love and to be loved. Unfortunately, we have the misnomer and misconception and misperception as to what love is, because for most, Western society has defined love. But we're looking at love from an Islamic perspective, a foundation in terms of what it is in terms of love, and we call that true love. So I've been blessed to take the English alphabet, 26 letters, from A to Z, And many of these qualities and characteristics, we can look in the Quran and we can see them being exemplified in the life example of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and why these qualities and characteristics would be a part of the true love recipe. You know, it's just like a recipe that people have where they put this in there, they put this ingredient, they put their ingredient in there that will give the flavor to whatever it is that they're cooking or baking, so it would have the right taste in terms of taste being experienced by those that are being served this. Well, there's no better ingredients than the ingredients that Almighty Allah gives in His framework and that's been exemplified by His Rasul, His Messenger. So we ask that you do take some good notes, listen in, and any questions or comments that you have, we want you to press 1 and ask your question, make your comment. And if there's some things that you hear tonight resonate with you that our beloved sister Khalila Akbar may say or myself would say, we do welcome those questions and comments. So with no further ado, I'd like to extend the greetings to our special guest facilitator. Hopefully she pressed 1 and she's in the queue. Assalamu alaikum, my dear sister Khalila Akbar.
Assalamu alaikum, Mark. She has not tuned in yet. I just texted her to ensure that there's no complications, but she's not on the line yet.
Okay. So you can, I have to just continue to go at this solo. I don't like doing it, but alhamdulillah, that she'll tune in eventually, and she'll be given her insight and wisdom. You know, Khalila Akbar, when I was with AM360 radio, she oftentimes would fill in for our sister Manira Habil, who started out with me, AM360, in terms of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab when we began this back, all the way back in 2015, October the 13th, that is, 2015. And so when she couldn't be there or she was traveling or ill, Khalila Akbar faithfully filled in and did such an outstanding job. And I thought that it would be befitting to have her on as a special guest facilitator, because Allah has blessed her with so much insight and knowledge when it comes to relationships and having that insight and wisdom that Allah blesses some with. We want to provide the platform for those to be able to spend out of that which Allah has given to them. You know, this is so important, you know, to provide these type of opportunities, because this is one of the things that have been an issue and problematic for many, the desire to want to have that healthy, harmonious relationship, but not really having the information and having been influenced by Western society in terms of how we really define love. You know, oftentimes this has caused the wrong mental attitude, disposition, and also behavior, and also in terms of responsibility. You know, this gives me an opportunity to speak and talk about in terms of role and responsibility. You know, oftentimes we will hear about the role and responsibility that Allah has given in terms of the man, but oftentimes we don't hear much in terms of role and responsibility of the women. You know, everything that Allah has created, it has a purpose. And, of course, He has created the human being, and they have a purpose. You know, a question on the sister station was asked earlier, that's on AM360, in terms of looking at the masculine, the feminine, female, male, and all and even the question in terms of who came first, what came first, or what. You know, when we read the biblical scripture, it can be very confounding, very confusing. It can be very discriminating if it's read, you know, and just taken literally. Whereas women seem to be second class or even forgotten in the creation. And it became an afterthought, you know. So we say subhanallah, you know, that Allah is perfect. And he's above mistakes. He's above errors. He's above shortcomings. So when he creates in excellence, with excellence, and even his human creation. And actually, you know, in reading biblical scripture in Genesis, which is kind of giving you something in terms of the beginning, as oftentimes we look at it. But each day, the Creator in his creation said, after each creation, he said, it was good, it was good, it was good. Even to the sixth day, when he created animal life and he created the human being, he said, it was good, it was good. So later on, we get later on in Revelation that the human being was created in sin. You know, that became a part of his original nature. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in giving us the creation, how he created the human being, he gives it from a different perspective. O you and I, su taqwa rabba kakum, kala kakum min nefsin wahida. Why kala kakum min helzaljaha. The nafs is what is given to us in terms of the creation. Nafs, translated or expressed in English language, is the soul. Kalakakum min nafs and wahida. That Allah created. He created the soul, one universal soul, you see, which is very, very important. And why is that important? Because it doesn't discriminate. All the isms that divide the human being up in terms of genderism, classism, elitism, yes, racism, all those isms that the shaitan, which has a mission to prove that this creation, that Allah has creation, is not worthy of the position that Allah has given to this creation that we call Khalifa, which is a role and a responsibility that we have as human beings, the freedom to be responsible for ourselves, for our family, for community life, for the creation itself. And so the jealousy, the enviness of this particular mindset and disposition, their mission is to disprove the worthiness of this creation. So therefore, these isms that have come through the society that we live in is sought to divide the human being up, to even make the male think that he's superior to the female. So Allah gives this creation in terms of revelation where we can identify the human creation before there's actually a biological creation. You know, that he's saying, oh, you social being, be consciously regardful of your Lord, the one that nurtures, sustains the life, guards and protects the life, and evolves the life, who has created you from one single soul. Now, this is very, very important. That I know you said, well, whoa, what has this got to do with the sacred institution of marriage? It has a lot to do with that, and it has a lot to do with in terms of how you see the sacred institution of marriage in terms of whether it's going to be healthy and harmonious or not. But if, in fact, that we don't get the truth of the reality of the human being, and Allah does not give to us in the final revelation that you find in biblical scripture where it actually infers or even overtly say that God forgot. He forgot the female. He had to take the female out of the man, out of his chest, and then shape and form her is secondary. You know, so when we start to really begin to start thinking, like, that don't sound right. And that don't sound as though that she's an equal creation. And do you know that just to be as recent as the 20th century, there was many believe that actually falsely believe, had the misconception and perception that women did not have a soul, you see. And even during the time of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they felt like it was a disgrace to actually have daughters that was born to them. And they physically buried them alive. You see, the Quran corrects many of the misnomers, the misconceptions and perceptions that we have, you see. So when we look in the abstract, there is no difference. There's no difference in terms of the soul that God has created and the potential of that soul. This is very important, you all. I'm hoping you get it. When it comes to as a moral being, as an emotional being, as a rational being, as an intellectual being, as a social being, and yes, as a spiritual being, there is no superiority there. It becomes a difference when we are created biologically. And this should be so very, very clear, because Allah says in the Quran, he creates and then he reproduces what he creates. And so we see this in animal life. You understand the conjugal relations that they have to reproduce, and they've been given a reproduction system, as the human being has that. And for plants, cross-pollination, asexual, meaning that they have the ability to reproduce. And Allah uses his creation in terms of that. So just to study in terms of science, as we have excellent production each and every Tuesday with Rashid Salam and Instructor Abdul Shaheed, in terms of the science of your health and you, we find that this is part of the makeup of the human being. And Allah says in the Quran, in regards to that, in no wise is the male like the female. But we're talking about now biologically, because each one has been given a role and a responsibility. Now just think about this. Will Allah give his human creation a role and a responsibility without giving them the provisions to carry out that role and responsibility? And Allah is just in that regard. So oftentimes when we look at in Surah An-Nisa, we see that Allah has said that the role and responsibility of the men is Al-Rajul Kanamuna An-Nisa, meaning that Al-Rajul, it means that the men, they are like the legs, the support, you understand, of women, but also of the community and the broader society, which is also inferred as feminine in that regard. So Kanamun, in Arabic, it actually says that his role and responsibility is to protect and maintain. Now, for some of us, we got a limited understanding when it comes to in terms of maintain. We just think about just only in terms economically dollar signs. But it's more than that in that regard. And we'll have that as a conversation in some of our futuristic productions here on the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. But also to maintain in the other vital components that comprise the human being, you see? So, but now, when we look at that, that's in Surah 4, Ayat 34. So the man that is God-conscious and consciously regardful of what God's word, his will, and his way, and in God's word is his will and his way, here in terms of instructing sign, this is your role, man. Then God says in Ayat 34 of the Quran, then he says, therefore. Okay, so therefore, now that should catch your attention. You know, reading the Quranic Arabia, but therefore, the righteous woman, hold the stop right there. What is this inferring? That if, in fact, that your man is a God-conscious man, and he's conscious regardful of what God's word, will, and way is for him, therefore, the righteous woman. A woman can't be righteous, nor can a man be righteous, unless they're God-conscious. This is a prerequisite for being righteous. We, you know, we can have good intentions. I want to be good. I want to be a servant. Fulfill. I really want to fulfill my role and responsibility. But we have to be God-conscious, or we have to be conscious in regard for what God's word will it is. Other than that, we can and will absolutely fall short, because we'll just be like a person with one eye. The eye on what it is that we know that is due to and for us, but not what is due and for our mate. So therefore, the righteous woman, or we can say, therefore, the conscious or regardful woman, the woman that has taqwa. And why so? Why should we look at it like that? Because this is what the man's role is, and if he's doing that and understands that, therefore the righteous woman or the God-conscious woman, she's devoutly obedient, but she's devoutly obedient to her Lord and Creator too. This is very important. This, I'm going to let that just marinate for a little bit. She's consciously devoted to being obedient to her Lord and Creator. In that consciousness, she has to realize and utilize what the role and responsibility of the God-conscious man is. And in that, and this was, it wasn't controversy, but there was a question that arose that this is being chauvinistic or showing a superiority or what. No. Because his role is to protect. Just think, let's take our mind from that for just a minute. In terms of the mother protecting her children, and she's given them some instructions that she know would ensure their protection and that they won't get hurt or harmed. Okay? So this is part of the role that the man had. And who gave it? The one that has created us. So the attitude that she should have, if she is a God-conscious woman, that she is what God says, so therefore the righteous woman is, she will immediately and readily see this and be sensitized, this man is trying to protect me. And protecting actually comes on different levels. It's just not only physical. Now, I mean, you know, you could say in terms of physical, but you miss a lot. Because it's more than just a physical being. But it starts with that. But then if she has an attitude or what in terms of just thinking, you don't need to tell me what to do. I know what to do. I'm grown just like you, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, obviously, if that's the mentality, that's not the reality. The reality or the truth is that God has given the man this role and responsibility, just like he has given the mother the role and responsibility to be the first teacher and leader of her children. And, of course, with that, she's going to be a protector of her children. And we see this throughout the life of the creation, that mother bird or that lioness, which is the mother, if the papa lion is not around, you're going to have your hands full with that female. And even those things that's not looked upon as predators, they will fight you to the death. Fight you to the death in terms of protecting their cubs or their babies. You see? Which is very, very important. So you have to understand that this role is being given to the man to actually do this. So in that understanding, then there's a certain amount of obedience that would have to come through that. Now, that doesn't mean that he's superior. We're going to get to that in a minute. Matter of fact, we can do that now and we'll come back to that, because Allah, when he gives the role, Al-Rajul Kanamun Anisa, he also tells us that he has given one something more than the other. This goes back to the provisions. So when Allah gives the instructing sign as our role and responsibility, then he also accompanies that with the provisions. Now, some people think, oh, it's just in terms of the man, because it said that. God actually says, because he's given one more strength than the other, and they also take care of them outside of their means, meaning that their means oftentimes will be greater means because they have the capacity or the provision that's been given to them to be able to earn the living not only for himself but also for his spouse and also for his family. But also Allah has given her certain means that the male don't have, too. And we find that in 46:15, where God is saying, be kind to your parents, and it is your mother who bear you in pain. It means she carries you in pain, and she delivers you in pain. And then she suckle you, and God even says, give you, even to show you, Allah doesn't leave anything out up to a period of 30 months. And if you're doing the math, up to 2.5 years. Now, you don't generally see that, but can be done up to that period of time. And sometimes that can be painful, as you hear mothers talk about breastfeeding their child. But he's given something more so than the other. But these are the provisions that he gives to us to be able to carry out our role and responsibility. I know some of you didn't expect to get this today, but Allah is guiding me in my spirit and what it is I'm saying tonight, you know, giving an opportunity to talk about some things that is problematic or challenging to many of us and not understanding what Allah is actually communicating to us and keeping Shaitan out of our thinking. Superior, chauvinist, all this, a misconception in terms of women's lib, and all of these things have come to cloud our mind up, not understanding and realizing, subhanAllah, that Allah is perfect. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't make errors. He don't have shortcomings. He didn't leave anything out in regards to that. And so when we go back and we look at that, we see that Allah is just. He gives us what it is that we need to perform our role and responsibility. You see, even with the mother having the honor and distinction to be the first teacher. That's an honor and distinction. Where the man goes out and he helped to maintain his wife and also what they produce together. Allah is our Razak. This is one of the 99 known Asma Anusna. The 99 known attributes that Almighty God, Allah, is known. We can't put a limit in terms of the attributes of Allah that is known to the human being. He's our Razak. He is the provider. He gives the provisions. Sometimes in that translation, Al-Rajul Kanamuna Anisa, it said, the man is supposed to be the protector, the maintainer, and the provider. No, Allah is the provider. Al-Razak, the provider. He's the one that gives the role, he gives the responsibility, and then he gives you the provisions. That's Al-Razak. So nobody should name themselves Al-Razak. That is an attribute that's exclusively for Allah. Now, we may think that we're the provider. No, you're the maintainer. And Allah is the provider. And then he entrusts us with the responsibilities. But now, you say, well, Marsha, he said Allah, but you haven't got to what the woman's role and responsibility is. Well, the role and responsibility is right there. So therefore, the righteous woman, or let's say the God-conscious woman, a conscious regard for what God's word, will, and way is, if she gets the man like that, he's God-conscious. He's conscious regard for God's word, will, and way. He's not only ingested, but digested, took it in, understood it, and he's submitting what God's word is, and inside God's word is his will and his way, okay, then therefore you have to be a righteous woman like you got a righteous man. And you also have to adhere to what God's word, will, and way is in terms of your role and responsibility. So then therefore you are, God is saying, you're devoutly obedient to Allah. And what it is that Allah has given to the man, in terms of his role and responsibility. So when he is in his proper role, I'm going to say that again, when he's in his proper role of protecting and maintaining you, there would be things that he would say that those things should be adhered to. Not because he's superior, but because of the role and responsibility that Almighty God Allah has given to him. This is very, very important. And sometimes this is missed. And this is missed because of what Western society emphasizes and the influence of the shaitan. Well, I got my own thoughts about that, blah, blah, blah. And I make my own money, and I got this, and I got that, yada, yada, yada. We don't have time to go into it tonight, but inshallah, there's been something that I said that I really want to do to go deeper into what it is that Allah has established, what he has created and what he has established. And many of us don't get it. It's pretty much just surface for many of us, and that's how we operate, just on the surface. Then God says, and this is very important, that she, the woman, the wife, would have to guard in her husband's absence what he, who he, what Allah would have her to guard. Now, if you ask many, generality is never the rule, but if you ask many, what is it? What is it that Allah would have the woman to guard in her husband's absence? The meaning that he's going to be, if he's performing his role and his responsibility, he's going to be absent. He's not always going to be present. Now remember, said, therefore the righteous woman. Okay, so then we ask ourselves the question, am I a righteous woman? Am I God conscious? Am I consciously regardful of God's word, will, and way? Well, you only can be that if, in fact, that you're in tune to the Quran. Now, remember earlier I said that the foundation for the sacred institution of marriage is your relationship with your Lord and Creator. Now, many of us say, I love Allah. I really love Allah. And Allah knows my heart. Yeah, he does. Why? Because he said it. And what he said is true. He knows that which is revealed. He knows that which is concealed. And he knows the secrets of the heart. Yeah, we might not be able to always ascertain in terms of the heart of a person, the intent of a person. But Allah knows. And even though we can have good intention, but we don't have the knowledge or the know-how, that's very possible. And we can have good intention, but what we intend don't necessarily get us the results that we really want. This is why it's so important that knowing and understand the role that the woman have as wife, but also as mother, she has to be educated. She has to be knowledge. And so we see in the Muslim world, in many parts of the Muslim world, how the female, the woman, was held back, not allowed, you understand, to get education. How many of us know that this is one of the rights that women have? And the deprivation of this over a period of time, we can look in recorded history where she was not given an opportunity, but this is the one that has been given the honor and distinction to be the first teacher. You can't teach what you don't know, and you can't lead where you don't go. See, once again, the provisions, the rights, and, you know, we've talked about that in previous episodes in terms of the rights of women. Who gave her those rights? The one that has created her. to be educated, to become knowledgeable. But if we are not, we are uneducated and not knowledgeable, instead of being enlightened, we're in darkness. You're not going to perform at your best, especially your optimal best, if in fact that you're uneducated, you're unenlightened in terms of your role and your responsibility, not only to your children, but also to your spouse. This is so very important. So she is the guard in his absence. Okay? So if God has said that this is a God-conscious man, then God-consciousness, and this is for both men and women, it helps to shape and form the character. I'm going to say that again, because I think we should take note. It shapes and forms the character. This is why it's a foundation to have the right relationship with your Lord and Creator. And it's given in a narrative with Prophet Ishmael and his father Abraham, where Ishmael is reported had two wives, not the same time, but the first wife, when he got married, he was struggling. He was struggling to perform his role and responsibility. But he was up every day, going out, trying to get work or doing whatever he could, you understand, to maintain his wife. And as the narrative goes, it was his father, Abraham, that came to check to see how things was going. His first wife, as the narrative goes, had never met Abraham, never met his father before. But what did she do when he came a call and wanted to know where was Ishmael? She ran him down. She ran, didn't know that she was talking to Ishmael's father, but she was running her husband down. And so after the conversation, this first wife, she says, well, she said, is there a message that you want me to give to Ishmael when he comes in? He said, yes. He said, just tell him a friend came by. And then tell him to change the doorposts. And she delivered the message when Ishmael came in, I guess, in the evening. She said it was an old man, gray-haired man, that came through. He said he was a friend. And so Ishmael, curious, said, well, what did he say? Did he leave a message? He said, yeah. He said, he told me to tell you to change the doorpost. Immediately, immediately Ishmael knew who that was because he understood the language. He said, oh, that was my father. He told me to divorce you. And we're going to come back to that in terms of why. So as the narrative goes, Ishmael got married again. Now, the setting is nothing had really, 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 really changed. Basically, the same conditions and everything. But the one thing that had changed was the woman that he married. Well, I'm kind of looking at, I can't see that good. But I know we got to pause for the calls there. So it's not that I'm trying to leave you in suspense. We'll pick it up on the other side. I want to say to those who just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab with your host, Mark Shaheed. And we got to take a pause for the cause. I'm going to ask you, as always, to stick and stay. Please don't stray away. We'll be right back.
Have you ever felt a Have you ever tried to fulfill a want or a need? God is with you all the way, strengthening your heart and soul. Brother, from birth to death, sometimes you never get a chance to get your breath. Work hard, brothers, to save your very, very soul. Control. It's a struggle, brother. Heart and soul, a struggle, brother. You come out of the cold.
And we're back, and I am Mark Shaheed. I'm the host of the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab that's heard each and every Thursday night right here on IWDM Radio. And tonight I'm flying solo, actually giving a monologue. I don't really like doing monologues, but our special guest facilitator has shown up, and as Allah says in the Quran, we should always put the best construction around any and everything. So just make dua for our special guest facilitator was scheduled to be with me here tonight, and that's Sister Khalida Akbar. She's out of the Queen City there in North Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina. Very, very insightful, very learned sister, and has a lot of insight and wisdom in the sacred institution of marriage and relationships. And so we changed the format a little bit tonight, but I'm hoping that those of you who's with us from the very beginning and have tuned in, that you're getting something and taking some notes. And I do invite questions and comments on what it is that you've heard thus far, and I'm going to finish that narrative up. But as we took a pause for the calls, and I asked you to stick and stay and don't stray away, we also changed engineers. So I just want to check in with my new engineer extraordinaire, my sister, my beloved sister and friend, the priest Abdul Hadi. Assalamu alaikum to you, sister, the priest Abdul Hadi.
Ooh, I like my salam to you, Brother Mark Shaheed, and you know I just be smiling all over my whole life when you say that. And I say, alhamdulillah. And I like my salam to you, Brother Mark, and to the IWDM family.
Alhamdulillah. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Thank you. I just want to check in just to make sure. We want to also, those of you who may tune in late, we want you to know that you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you're listening to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab tonight. And I'm just going into something that sometimes can be very, very problematic and very, very challenging to us, and especially in terms of knowing our role and responsibility. As we have said here numerous times down through the years, in terms of the foundation, you know, last week having a very learned, establishing a very learned, I would say, I won't say committee, but instead of freezer in mind, in terms of establishing those persons last week that really helped with the insight and wisdom that they shared last week in terms of purpose for the sacred institution of marriage, but also in terms of foundation, you know, very important in the information they actually gave. But I'm really drilling down on our relationship with our Lord and Creator, because that is the foundation. You know, having the right relationship with our Lord and Creator, it helps to shape and form the type of character that we are to have, to be the best that we can be, to be the best man, to be the best woman, but to be the best husband, to be the best wife, to be the best mother, to be the best father, to be the best family member, the best neighbor, the best community member, the best human being. And Allah's Rasul, the messenger, has said, many the best of you. The best of you is the one that is most useful and beneficial to the community. The best of you is the one that is best to your family. The best of you is the one that is best to your wife. And that's speaking exclusively in terms of to men in that regard. But there's so many the best of you that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, had given. So we had an outstanding panel. I don't know why I couldn't think of panel last week. It was really outstanding. A lot of great information. So if you missed that, please go back into the archives so you can retrieve it in its entirety. A lot of, I call, gold nuggets that came out when you're hearing things from different perspectives and insight. But they were coming from an Islamic base, Islamic platform. This is very important, you know, that we don't want to just come from our base, because it has, in some cases, it has been shaped and formed by Western society thinking, where Shaitan has influenced that thinking, you see, and we don't sometimes know that we're operating from his influence. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, we talk about in terms of righteousness, we as much as we might think that we're being righteous in what it is that we're doing, if we're not God conscious, this kind of opens the door for Shaitan to really influence not only our thinking and mental attitude, but our disposition, and also, therefore, influencing our behavior. This is very, very important, you know. So it is said to us in the Quran, God says that before reading the Quran, we should say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, that we seek refuge with Allah from the influence of Shaitan, the avowed enemy of the human being, not the avowed enemy of God. You see, because he was given respite, very important. But refuge is shelter, protection, you see. And only Allah can give that. But what is it that we have to do? We have to become an obedient servant of Allah. And it goes back to adhering to God's word, will, and way. We'll never be able to get around that. The relationship is that of a servant to a master, but if we're going to be an obedient servant, then we have to know what is the master saying to us. We can have a good heart, and it starts there in the heart, but it's not to stay in the heart. There's so much to be said about that, and inshallah, I'll say that this is courtship and marriage. But I'm taking it to another level tonight and hopefully that you're ingesting and you're digesting what is being said, taking it to heart. I never heard that before. But Al-Haq, another one of the 99 known attributes, the truth, the reality. This is a name that's ascribed to Allah in terms of giving us more insight as to who God is. He is the truth, the reality, the only real reality. You know, I'd say words of inanality, it's a play on reality or what is real. Allah, who is Al-Khaliq, the creator, is real. Say, well, I don't see him. I don't believe that he's real. Well, you don't see the wind either. But you can see what the wind can do. It can actually blow a car over. It can uproot a tree. It can demolish homes or houses. Is that enough proof for you? But you can't see it. But that in the creation was created. Well, I could say more about that. But I am going to resume back to finishing the story up in terms of Prophet Ibrahim and his son, Prophet Ishmael. And want to say to our radio listening audience that please press 1. If some of the things that you already heard in the first hour, if you have any questions or comments, or if what you're hearing is resonating with you, is this making sense to you? Because we're on the topic in terms of the sacred institution of marriage and the role and responsibility. And oftentimes you don't hear imams teaching in khutbahs in terms of that. You may hear the role and responsibility of the men, al-rujul, kanamuna, anisa. You might hear that, but you don't hear the role and responsibility of women. That's what we're trying to give here in Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. She has a role and responsibility too. Do you think that Allah would create the human creation, both male and female, and not give them a role and responsibility, not give them specifically a purpose? And if he gave them a role and responsibility and a purpose, that he wouldn't be al-Razak, the provider? This is another attribute. The names and attributes that belong to Allah, you know, some say that the man's supposed to be the provider. No, Allah is our Razak. He's the provider. He gives us those provisions. But he also gives the women the provisions that they need to perform their role and responsibility. And this is why I said earlier is that Allah says in the Quran, in no wise is the male like the female. But we're talking about now biologically. But abstractly, in terms of soul, there is no difference. So nothing can be established by men in terms of superiority. Nothing. When we look at in terms of morally, there is no superiority that men have. Rationally, same thing. Intellectually, no superiority. See, this color cocoon bin nefsin wahida. You know that the Nas, the human being, This is Allah, how he says he has created the human being from one single soul. Nafs is soul. One single soul. And he didn't give anything in that creation any superiority. It's only when Allah says, and I have given one something more so than the other. And that something more so is just simply the provisions to be able to perform their role. See, Allah is just. But that's not only in terms for the man, but also for the woman. When we talk about the parenting and family reconstruction learning lab, he's given the honor and distinction to the mother to be the first teacher and leader, not only the baby girls, but also the baby boys. So if he's given that honor and distinction to the mother, don't you know that he gave the mother the provisions that she needed? And don't you know that that becomes a right, that the woman is not to be deprived of the rights in terms of education and learning and knowing this religion? It's an obligation for her to do that. If she's going to be outside of Allah being the first teacher, when that life comes to earth in its birth, now this becomes her role and responsibility. Because what? Paradise lies at the foot of the mother. She's going to be the first one to give the foundational knowledge. But if she don't have the knowledge, how can she get what she don't have? You can't teach what you don't know. And you can't leave where you don't go. This is very, I'm just giving it in a simplistic way. There's a whole lot more we could go into in regards to that. So to go back to the narrative, I think I stopped with the first wife of Prophet Ishmael. He was struggling to really find work, to be able to sustain himself. And his wife, the first wife, she ran him down, not even knowing who she was talking to. She's just talking. You see, but was talking to his father about him, just running him down. And so those who may have missed that, she asked this traveler that said he was a friend, do you have a message you want to leave for Ishmael? He said, yeah, just tell him a friend came by. She said, anything else? Yeah. Just tell him I say he need to change the doorpost. She didn't know what that meant. It's code language, change the doorpost. Mm-hmm. So when Ishmael came in, probably late on in the evening, she told him, hey, there was an old man that came by. He said he was a friend. So Ishmael, of course, was curious. He said, but did he leave a message or something for me? She said, yeah. So, well, what did he say? She told me to tell you, he told me to tell you to change the doorpost. Immediately, Ishmael knew that that was his father. He said, oh, that was my father. He told me to divorce you. Now, the second wife, it was a different narrative. The conditions were still the same. He's still struggling. Get work, keep work, make an honest living to be able to support his responsibility. But what was different was the mental attitude and disposition that the second wife had. And so here comes Ishmael's father again, Ibrahim. And she didn't know who he was either. But he inquired, where was Ishmael? And so this wife said, well, you know, he's out trying to get work, and he's such a hard worker, and blah, blah, blah. She was totally different. She was positive, optimistic. This is one of the the ingredients in the True Love Recipe, inshallah, we'll talk about a little bit later, that I was going to bring to the learning lab tonight. She was optimistic and had high regard and respect for her husband. So she said to the traveler that said he was a friend, well, would you like to leave a message? He said, yeah. He said, well, just tell him that a friend came by. And also, just tell him, I said, to keep the doorpost. So, obviously, when Ishmael came home later, she told him that a very nice, handsome gentleman came by. And he said that he was a friend. So Ishmael was curious and said, well, what did he say? She said, well, he told me to tell you to keep the doorpost. He said, oh, that was my father. He said, you're a keeper. Why did I say all of that to say to the Quran, Surah 4, which is Anisa, the women, Ayah 34, to guard in her husband's absence that what he would have her to guard. So now if you really, really, you know, into the role of responsibility, you see that the woman is also, when you talk about guard, you're talking about protect. See, it's part of the role of the man to protect, but it's also part of the woman to protect. Just a little different, but to protect. And to maintain, you understand, what it is that he has provided for. It means you just don't let anybody into the house without his approval. They can come in and do whatever they want to do and all those things. But to protect his character. To protect his character. And this is related to your relationship with your Lord and Creator. The same thing for a God-conscious man. He has to be devoutly obedient. That's where it starts. It starts with him being devoutly obedient and adhering to God's word, will, and way to try to perform his role and responsibility. So therefore, the righteous woman, and we could say the righteous woman being the God-conscious woman, conscious of what God's word, will, and way is, and what he has ascribed to the man to be able to do and has given the provisions to do that. And God says it right there. He don't leave you in wonderment that he's given one something more than the other. That's just provision. That don't make him superior. So we can get that out of our head. And that he spends out of that which he's able to make. Al-Razak, being the provider, Allah being the provider, that he can perform his role. So if he's doing that, if he's being an obedient servant in terms of that, then therefore, see, it becomes that therefore. Now this comes in terms of what it is that she is supposed to be, a righteous woman, a God-conscious woman, consciously regardful of what God's word, will, and way. And that also includes in terms of his role and responsibility. So she has to respect his responsibility to protect and maintain. That's very important. And so just like as a mother protecting the children, obedient, and this has become really in Western society, this is a word that many dislike, they detest, they hate it, hostile when they hear obedience. Look, what do we have to teach our children inside the first social institution, which is a sacred institution of family life? If we don't teach our children in terms of the importance of obedience, they don't respect and obey the rules and regulations that have been established by their parents, and then you turn them loose and let them out into the society, there are laws that have to be obeyed. Mm-hmm. Can determine how long you live for breaking the law or even having a viable life if you don't lose your life. Premature death or long-term imprisonment, incarceration. You see, that's the way life goes. It's not to mean it's a superiority, but she has a role, too, to guard or to protect. And then Allah says in another part of the Quran, read it for yourself, Surah 49:12. This is a learning lab, so take it for yourself. And Allah says, avoid suspicion as much as possible. And then he says, in some cases, suspicion is a sin. You have to have proof, you see. You want to have the respect. You don't want to make your spouse a suspect. Mm-hmm. And you definitely don't want to give that to others. This is crime. You have to guard that. You see, that becomes like a garment. Garment, one of the purpose of a garment is for protection. In healthy male-female relations, they both are supposed to be as garments for each other. A protection, not uncovering, not displaying, none of those things. You don't do those things. This is very important because you want the relationship to be a healthy, harmonious relationship. So God has already said in guarding in his absence when he's not present, you see. And, you know, if we follow in the Quran in terms of step by step by step, this should make good sense. Mm-hmm. Because you want him to be able to fulfill his role as best as he can. And you should also be an encouragement, be encouragement to each other, but being an encouragement. Now, obviously, in that narrative, in terms of Prophet Ibrahim and Prophet Ishmael, he was a prophet too, his son. That second wife, obviously, was an encouragement because she was very optimistic. She appreciated the type of man that she had. Well, the other one was running down. So this goes to guarding in your husband's absence what Allah would have you to guard, and that is his character. Just simply put. But the God-conscious man and the God-conscious woman, that's for both. Their character is shaped and formed by their relationship with their Lord and Creator. That is foundational, which, you understand, it translates to being the best man, best woman, best husband, best wife, best mother, best father, best family member, best neighbor, best community member, et cetera, business person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I'm hoping that we see how this is really connected and how a relationship can stay healthy and harmonious. And there's other things that God says. They have to keep it in that way. But if we're not educated and we're not knowledgeable of that, we can and oftentimes be vulnerable for the influence of Shaitan and not even know or recognize it. And so ideas pop in. The door is left open. It's cracked. Shaitan just bursts right in. And we're not even aware. Start to whispering. Putting all kind of ideas in our head. And then we take those things as unfounded now. So once again, Allah says that if you're true, bring your proof. Not suspicion, not speculation. You can't bring that. Allah don't accept that. Very, very important. You see? So hopefully this actually will help in terms of knowing and understanding that Allah is the creator al-Khaliq. He's the creator of both. In the abstract, no difference. Most certainly no superiority. And if we really understand that, O Yuhanasu, Tanqua, Rubba, Kakum, Kala Kakum, Min Nefsin, Wahida, we would be able to see, O you social creature, be consciously regardful of your Lord and Creator who created you from one single soul. Or Imam Muhammad said, when you say nafs, one single soul, you can say one single essence. Now, this refutes that what's given in biblical scripture was changed, as if and though that the God there, he was forgetful. He forgot about the woman. It was an afterthought. You see, well, God didn't forget. But he gives us our creation as we need to get our creation to understand the truth, the reality of it. Now, the two can respect each other. And they can also respect the role and responsibility that Almighty God Allah has given to both. And allow them to do what it is that God has said that they should do. The God-conscious man, therefore the God-conscious woman. It says the righteous woman, but you can't, a woman nor a man can be righteous in terms of demonstrating piety without being God-conscious. This is why the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said the four reasons why one would marry, beauty, wealth, lineage, meaning social status, and then it's translated as piety or righteousness, but it really is taqwa. That's what produces the righteousness, the piety. It's the same thing that is said, the derivative taqwa is tatatakum. That we oftentimes read that verse during the month of Ramadan, that you may learn self-restraint, to restrain yourself, self-discipline, self-management, self-control, that you may learn that. But you're only going to learn that in terms of being conscious, regardful of what Allah's word and embodied in God's word is his will for you and me. That's the only way, and that helps to shape and form you. So I wanted to say that, and I want to say that those who just tuned in, you are listening to IWDM Radio, and you listen to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, and hopefully those of you who have been with me that was able to stick and stay, that didn't stray away. If you have any questions or comments on what I've said thus far, I'd like for you to press 1. Come into the queue. Ask your question, make your comment, and hopefully it was clear, and hopefully you got something that perhaps you haven't had before and actually didn't know. You know, when we actually, Allah is Al-Aleem, he's the all-knowing. He's Al-Hakim, he's all-wise. He's Al-Basir, he's all-seeing. You see? So this is exclusive properties that God has. But he wants us to be enlightened. See, the Quran is the book of guidance. Hada, guidance. And Imam Muhammad said that you can study anything from these four principles that Allah gives in Surah 87. You read it for yourself. Khalaqa, Kalaka. Create the form. Sawa. Sawa is the form that he created, how it relates to other form. So if we're studying, so in other words, if we're studying man as a form, and then how man relates to other form in terms of a woman, that's sawa. Sawa in terms of how the two would relate to each other. Then the third step is kalara. Kalara is actually the potential of those two forms being together and what the potential actually is in terms of that. That, you know, so some don't even realize that there is a potential. In the sacred institution of marriage, there is a potential for productivity. It's not only just in terms of just making babies. As a matter of fact, Allah even says in Anisa that, you know, that the color kakum min nefsin wa hida, wa color kakum min hauzal jahan, that he created its mate. What do you mean its mate? We're talking about the mate of the soul in terms of the God-conscious man, the God-conscious woman, coming together, understanding what it is that Allah has created, and that many men and women will come from that. It didn't say babies. There's a difference between babies in terms of men and women. So this is speaking on a higher level, men and women that will come as a result of that. See, we should, you know, most of us, I think, are listening, if we up in the, you say, 50s, late 50s, 60s, mid-60s, late 60s, 70s, 70-plus, you know, like myself, or what? You're not talking about, you know, creating or making babies. But when it is that we are parents, being conscious, regardful of our role and responsibility to them, we want to create countless men and women. But this is only going to come from the God conscious, you see, which is so very, very important. Each generation should be an improvement upon the previous generation. But do we see that in society today? No, we don't see that progression. We see a regression. And why? Because they have left the word of God out. And Allah has created the Khalifa for morality. There's no morality in the society. It's absent. So therefore, when you're not God conscious and morality is not a part of your makeup, you're not morally conscious, this opens the door for all the things that we see. And Shaitan can have his way with us as human beings. And this has become destructive, and all the things, the evils that Shaitan can perform. It is said in authentic hadith that the greatest delight or enjoyment that Shaitan gets is that those imps are able to break up marriages. Think about that. And think about what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said. That the sacred institution of marriage is one half of the deen. Now, this is God's messenger. This is not Mark Shahid. I ain't making none of this up. And those who learn, they know. They know that's the truth. But there are many that have heard the hadith, but they never really understood it. They understand why is that so important? Why is that half of the religion? Because if we were just asked, what do you think the two most important things are in the religion of Al-Islam, we have all kind of answers. What we say, what we think. We might just for many, we say prayer. It's the most important thing in the religion. That's not what God said. And when we look at the five pillars, it's second. Mm-hmm. It's second. Because you got non-Muslims that pray, but are they praying to the one God who's worthy to be worshiped and served, and who has made this life responsible, has been responsible, I should say, has been responsible for making this life the life he has given to the human being, the grace and the favor that he's given to the human being. So they're praying sometimes to a man as God. We don't do that. We don't do that. We know better than that. You see? So therefore, it'd be logically that prayer would come after being a witness bearer to the one God, and that he doesn't have partners nor associates, and that his messenger is a human being. Mm-hmm. So this is so very, very important for us to know. I know some of you was like, oh, now I'm going to get something else, of course, in marriage. Now, we have been having very distinguished, esteemed couples come on. Inshallah, we'll look at next week in terms of resuming that. And want to say to our radio listening audience that if you know of couples that have longevity in their marriage, please notify me. You can give me a call at 314-435-7213, 314-435-7213. You can call me, leave a voice message, your name, your contact number, get back with you in regards to that. We're trying to promote the sacred institution of marriage as God has given the framework for. I mean, there are other programs and shows where they just have conversation where people just, they actually denigrate marriage, or you have bashing. Men bashing women, women bashing men, and none of them ain't no good and all that. We don't do that here on Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. And some programs are designed to have conversation, sensation from it, not trying to provide information and education. That's not their objective, but that is the objective here for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. We know the problems. We know the challenges that we're confronted with, but we don't have the information or the education, and many times we don't even have the right mental attitude nor disposition. Mm-hmm. I'm one and done. Two, I'm through. Three, I want to be free. Four, no more. And I could go on and on with that. So at this time, I would like to engage our radio listening audience. I know you heard me talk quite a bit. It was not my intention to give a monologue, but that's we hear this so often, and I hope that we understand it how our beloved teacher and leader, Imam Wahdi Muhammad, has given it to us. Please make these little tweaks. You know, sometimes we just get accustomed to how we first learn something, but we have a scholar, teacher. Why wouldn't we focus in terms of how he has given the tafsir, clear explanation? Now, we start out saying, yes, man plan and God plan, and God's the best planner. But Imam Muhammad said, no, he said man plans, we plan, the human plans, But Allah has already planned. Can we just say that to ourselves and begin to start saying that? It makes a world of difference. Allah is not in competition with us, nor any of his other creation. He's already planned. And the proof of that is in the Quran. Allah tells us in the Quran, never say what you would do tomorrow, okay? Okay, because that means the human being is planning. Without saying, and we know, inshallah, God willing. So this lets you know that God has already planned, and his plan is going to prevail. Very important. So we should be easy. We should be able to snap right out of that. I got to say the same way. This is the way I learned it. I hear Muslims say in the community, this is the way I learned it. No, you should want to continue. You grow in regards to what you know. And the right knowledge enables you to continue to grow. No, man, the human, you could say the human plans. But God has already planned. He's ahead of us. And we don't know if our plan is going to be manifested. That's why we say, inshallah. And then if we see we're able to carry out what we planned, we know that it was in accordance with God's plan, then we say, mashallah. It was part of God's will for us to be able to do that. We never want to leave Allah out. This is why sometimes we have to go through what we go through just to get through or get to the destiny. An ethical and just society, that those of us who are God conscious, that we should be working each and every day of our lives to try to establish. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yes. All that has great significance. And we, above all people, should be able to relate to that. What is it that we see above us? Do we see chaos? Do we see disorder? No, Imam Muhammad said we see peace. And we see order. We see harmony, and we see beauty. And this is what Allah wants us to have in our relationships, and we can do that. If we understand that, we can do it. But we can't do it without the guidance of God. I was on our sister station, AM 360, earlier today, and it was talking about the knowledge. Go to the Quran and get the knowledge. I had to share with them what Imam Muhammad shared with us. He said he went to the Quran, he didn't go to the Quran to get knowledge. He went to the Quran to get guidance. I'm going to say it again. He went to the Quran to get guidance. And that's what we ask for in the oft-repeated prayer, the seven most often repeated ayats. Indina sirata mustaqim. O Allah, guide us along the straight path, which is a vertical path, in every aspect of our life, including the sacred institution of marriage. You want that guidance from God. And then God tell you that is the book. And it is guidance, sure. Stop right there. But there's a prerequisite to the guidance, sure, for who? For those who are conscious, regardful of me. Now we have to ask ourselves and evaluate ourselves. Are we conscious, regardful of God? And if we are, how would we be if we don't know what Allah has revealed to us, what he wants us to know? If we just read Surah Ikhlas, four ayats, Allah is telling you in those four ayats what he wants us to know in terms of his reality, who he is and who he cannot be. Oh, this book is so beautiful. And Allah says he has made the Quran easy. if we just wanted, if we would just empty ourselves out, all these ideas and thoughts and opinions that we have, well, this could bring about the tranquility in ourselves first, and then in the sacred institution of marriage. The tranquility can be there. It's obtainable. And then God says, and he will put the love and the mercy between your hearts. Verily, and that are signs for those who reflect. So much there. So at this time, I'm going to ask you to press 1 if you have any questions or comments, or you, and I'm going to ask you that anything that's been said already in this monologue, which I don't like doing, is it resonating with you? And you don't have to say exactly what it is that you got if you don't choose to, but I would love to hear from you to see if you got something. If you wrote something down, you don't have to share in detail, but you can just share in general. So I'm asking you to press 1, and those who listen by way of the Internet, I know it's a lot of people listening by way of the Internet to IWDM Radio and these various productions, including the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You do have to call into the studio to ask a question or make a comment or even just say what you've heard resonating with you, and preferably that Allah move you, inspire you, to motivate you to be able to do that, because this is your learning lab. And so, you know, you feel like on an island by yourself, but you know you got some people that's listening. And so I really love to hear from you, and you can do that by pressing 1. 714-816-4673. The Priest of Hadi, do we have any hands in the air?
Yes, Brother Mark, we do. 863-812. Welcome to Courtship and Marriage. Assalamu alaikum. State your name. Where you calling from?
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Welcome to the Marriage Learning Lab.
Brother Shaheed, alhamdulillah. I got a concern, ain't no doubt about it.
Okay.
But we won't address it right now on the air. I'll let you make that choice, but what I need to do, I'll tell you what it's about. And then what I need to do, I'm going to need your contact information. And then you can advise me. All right, this is what it is. Earlier this year, I ain't going to go into detail. I'm a brief.
No, you don't need to go into detail.
Earlier this year, I had pronounced a divorce between my wife.
Mm-hmm.
She encouraged me to reconsider. And I reconsidered.
Mm-hmm.
But the situation, as she said, we're not out of the woods yet. Okay? So what I want to do, I need some feedback from you, right? But not on national radio, right?
No, we don't want to do that. No, we don't want to do that on national radio. And you're absolutely right. What's your name? I didn't get your name.
I'm Brother Salim.
Salim. Okay. So, Brother Salim, this is what I want to do. Listen to me.
Right.
I want to give you my number right now. My number is not a private number. You know, some people have a private number. They don't want to be cool. I think this is one of the tools of Shaitan, too. You know, now it's difficult a lot of times in terms of even getting in touch with people. People are just such a VIP, such a very important person that they don't even have time to even talk to each other. See, Shaitan is slowly but surely taking away the first faculty that has been developed. And Allah tells us that in many places in the Quran, where in 1678, he said, it is he, Allah, who brought you forth from the wombs of your mother when you knew nothing. And then what's the first prophecy said? He said, and it's he who gives you hearing and gives you seeing and gives you intelligence and give you affection and sensitivity that you may give thanks. And this revelation came before the human actually knew the first of the faculties that develop in the womb of the mother, which is hearing. That baby in the gestation and the maturation period is able, through the umbilical cord, the connection with the mother, to hear the heartbeat of the mother and to attest to that further after the baby is born. And after you check everything, the baby has been fed, the baby has been cleaned up, and everything been given a reasonable amount of holding and everything, and sometimes the baby just holler and cry and whine. Sometimes the only thing that's a common effect on that baby is for that baby, the mother, to put the baby on the left side of her breast where the heart is and to hear the heartbeat that it heard when it was in the womb of the mother. That's the only thing that will bring some quiet and calm to the child. This is something that's been learned and everything, but when the revelation came, they had no clue in terms of the development of the faculties. You know, you say you have five senses, but hearing came first. But what is it that Shaitan is taking away? Ain't nobody got time to listen to nobody today. Text me.
Yeah, I hear that.
You know, I just want to say that, but here's my number, 314-435-7213. That's 314, area code 314-435-7213. And give me a call. Brother Salim, just leave your number. And I'm challenged with my vision, so my ears or my eyes these days, so when you call, leave your name and leave a number, and I'll get back with you ASAP. And then we can discuss
sir.
That air. Yes, sir.
Would a text be better?
No, don't text me.
Okay.
Because I'm not able to read text. Right. I can't send text and read. I'm challenged with my vision.
What's the best time for you, brother?
Early in the morning, or even late in the evening, night, or something of that. Except for like in the middle of the week, because I'm on the radio with these productions and everything. So early or late is good.
Maybe not Friday, right?
Friday evening is good.
Tomorrow evening, Friday,
only good. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And if you don't get me, make sure you leave a voice message, your name, and your contact number, and I'll get back with you.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Thank you so much, Brother Salim.
Thank you, brother.
Alhamdulillah. All right. Press 1 as you go out, Brother Salim. After you're muted, press 1, and that way we'll keep the studio clear. Thank you so much for calling in. The Priest of Hadi, any more hands in the air?
Yes, we do. 202-751, welcome to Courtship and Marriage. State your name and where you're calling from.
Can you hear me?
Yes,
we can.
You come in loud and clear. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. You got a question, a comment?
Hello, can you hear me?
And who are you? State your name if you desire to do so and where you're calling from. It sounds like East Coast, Washington.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam. Can you hear me? I can hear you. She must be having problems hearing.
Well, maybe she might
be on mute. Yeah, take yourself off of mute. We can hear you. Did our call drop?
Okay. Now I can hear you and you can hear me.
So my engineer was telling you to take yourself off of mute. Yes, ma'am. Welcome to the Courtship and Marriage Training Lab.
I apologize. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. I just basically have a comment because what's been said this night and just what Imam talked about, I remember reading an article where the mother died at childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
And she was an organ donor. So
okay.
People got different parts of the organs. But the baby cried and cried and cried and cried, missing that attachment with her mother.
Mm-hmm.
The family went and found the man who got the heart.
Mm.
As soon as he touched that child, as soon as he picked up that child stopped crying, became content, became sad. And I just wanted to piggyback on the whole heart thing. It was just amazing to me when I read that story.
Let
me introduce myself. This is Soraya, and I'm calling you from Atlanta.
Okay, sir. Well, you know, this is an extraordinary story because he actually it was a heart transplant, transplant, and actually the mother of the child heart was transplanted into this man.
Yes, I was.
Wow,
it was such a heart. Touching story.
Oh, it
and
is a heart. Yeah, I'm feeling that as you expressed that. Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
That is real heartfelt.
Alhamdulillah. Yes.
Thank you for calling in and just sharing in regards to that. So this actually attests to the truth of the matter in terms of the heartbeat and what the baby is actually experiencing in the womb of the mother, even in the gestation, the maturation process before actually birth. Calming effect that it can actually have on the child. Now, human beings, at that time when revelation actually came, you understand, they didn't have that, the science was not developed to that point. And many of us that's living today, even in our lifetime, there was a time when they didn't have the ultrasound to be able to even know the gender of the child in the womb of the mother. This has happened in our own lifetime to be able to determine before birth whether it's going to be a male or a female, a boy or a girl. You see, so the advancement in terms of the science, you know, and all, there was a period of time that this was not known. You see, so the crime, this is further evidence that this is revelation coming from Almighty God, Allah, who is Al-Khaliq, the creator, Al-Aleem, the all-knowing. Not a leaf falls without his knowledge. Why? Because he created the seasons. This religion is beautiful. It's not complicated. The only complications that we have is that we got too much of this Western society in our head that we just need to let go. So our mind can be clear and our heart can be rid of the things that we need to be rid of so that we can ingest the revelation. As it came to the prophet's heart, then went to the head. As Imam Muhammad said, the intellect, then all throughout the whole body. And then it was articulated to the community. And it produced the ummah, God's word of revelation. I hope you're following these steps here. So, alhamdulillah, thank you so much, my sister. Boy, what what a story. In regards to that, so she's just attesting to Al-Haq, the truth, the reality, in terms of the relationship, the bonding. The bonding starts in the womb, but it continues after the birth. And we call that, you know, in the Quran, the mystical. It's referred to as the mystical tie that God has in terms of relationship. Oh, this is beautiful. All right, please press 1, my dear sister, as you are muted, so that way you'll go off. If you have anything else that you want to say, you're welcome to come back, ask a question or comment. The priest of Hadi, any more hands in the air?
There are no more hands up, my brother Mark.
Okay, okay. You know you're always welcome.
You're such a gift, and I do appreciate it, too, because, I mean, first of all, I want to say alhamdulillah on your doing just what Al-Asma ul-Husna says do, what the Prophet Muhammad, praise and peace of Allah be upon him, said, that learn it and then cooperate it, as you would say, connect it. And
yes.
I tell you, you know, giving off this information this evening and using those attributes and alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, and letting us, you know, that's a beautiful story of the posts, the God, the whale post, the God post, the story of Ishmael, you know, beautiful, mm-hmm. and bringing it on and connecting it.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking at. I'm seeing. I'm like, alhamdulillah, because that's the guidance. That's the right mental attitude.
Yes, alhamdulillah.
I'm the rock, but you got that right guidance, and I'm just excited,
yeah.
Brother Mark. You know,
yeah, alhamdulillah.
Yeah.
Yes,
alhamdulillah.
Ma'am. Alhamdulillah. You know, the priest is all about understanding Allah's communication to us. This is what we ask for in Al-Fatiha when it's recited 17 times a day. We're not really, may not be consciously aware of that. Indina Siratul Mustaqim. We're asking for God's guidance, the Siratul Mustaqim. But we're asking for that guidance in every aspect of our life.
That's right. Absolutely.
And Allah has made the sacred institution of marriage as an aspect of our life. And it's been personified in his Rasul, his messenger, in terms of saying that it's half of your religion, half of your deen. Deen means religion, but it also means debt. It also means in terms of your nature.
Mm-hmm.
It also means judgment. All of these are definitions of deen, and we can connect them, you know, because the life that it is that Allah has given, that life is supposed to be given to our Khalik, the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
You see, that life goes to the one that has created the life, not to anybody else, the one has created the life. But your responsibility in what it is that God has given to us, this is how we're going to serve him in terms of, that's why the religion is said, Deen al-Fitra. This is the connection to the original nature. It is the religion. So if somebody asks us, what is al-Islam? If a Muslim, a new Shahada, what is al-Islam? It's Deen al-Fitra. It is the religion of the original nature. The religion of the original nature. The nature and the original nature in which Allah created for the human being. So that religion preserves and maintains that original nature. See, if in fact this could be done, because when we look at the Prophet Muhammad, his original nature was never stained nor altered. Never stained nor altered. He became the vessel, the perfect vessel for God to deposit his last revelation in the human being and became the model. The model human being for all times. And Allah says in the Quran, and Muhammad is enough. I mean, this was the human creation from the very beginning. Muhammad is Adam. Muhammad is Adam in his most evolved and perfected form. And I know that's going to be something for us to digest, but this is what all of us should be striving for. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, alhamdulillah. So I do want to say this. We were going to go to 04 and qualities and characteristics in my personal true love recipe. And as I said earlier, that's inscribed in the human nature too. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's inscribed in the human nature. Allah has put in the human nature to want to be love and to give love. Just like he put and inscribed servitude. There's no getting around it. When you talk about servitude, the question becomes who and what will you serve? But servitude is in the original nature. See, it's important for us to know that what God has already put in the original nature. And as parents, what we have to do in terms of nurturing and cultivating and bringing it out in the best way, so there can be a manifestation or realization of that. But if we're in the wrong social environment, we won't see it. It'll be obscure. It will be whereas that is altered in that regard. We won't see the right service going to the one, the only one that is deserving. That's why when we say La ilaha illallah, that there is no one, there is nothing. It starts with a negation, an elimination of everything to worship, to serve, to work for. Matter of fact, Imam Muhammad even said, "Indina Sirata Mustaqim." It's actually saying in Al-Fatiha, it is only you. Exclusively, it's only you, Allah, that we worship. It is only you that we serve. It is only you that we work for. And then it goes on to say, it is only you that we seek help, aid, and assistance from. And then the next ayat, in the Nasirat al-Mustaqim, says, what is the help? What is the aid? What is the assistance that we need from only you, the guidance on the straight path? Oh, this is so beautiful. When you get it like that, the Quran is easy. You don't want nothing else but what God's guidance is. If God's going to be a managing partner in your life, that's how it has to happen. There's nothing spooky about it. But if we're not seeing it like that, we're not seeing it clear. So that means anything can be infused into our thinking and our disposition that ultimately going to affect our behavior.
Mm-hmm.
We think we are operating on the freedom that God has given to us. But that's why I shared earlier on our sister station that Imam Muhammad said when he read the Quran, he wasn't reading it for knowledge, or it's like some of us, you don't want to read it to beat people up or to substantiate our wrong position or disposition and not even knowing or just being a parrot what we heard, not knowing, but guidance, the guidance that Allah wants us to have. And he says that is the book, and it's guidance sure for those who are conscious regardful of me. So you can't lose Allah. The handhold in terms of, it's only if we let go of that. Allah won't let go of us. And he only guides those who accept his signs. What do you mean, accept his? Accept his revelation, his message. If we don't accept the message, then we get the mess. The first four letters of message. And the other part of message is age. Down through the ages, you get the mess. And we see that culminating today. You see, we see that in the Middle East. We see that in Ukraine. We see that all throughout the world, the continent of Africa, the motherland in which our forefathers came from. We see the mess. It's all over. Why? Because they didn't get the message. They didn't accept the message, rejection of the message. And God says he don't guide those who reject. Now, sometimes we can, like a segment of the Jews that's in the crying, just outright, even though they got the message, but they just outright rejected it. And sometimes, so you understand, we are guilty of misreading. And then the misleading comes as a result of that. Still didn't get the message. Can't fulfill the whole of the life. Don't want to be socially responsible. Thinking that we're closer to God by abrogating social responsibility. I'm just want to be spiritually responsible. Well, you're not living a full life. It's only half of the life. See, so there has to be a marriage between the spiritual and the social that brings about the material life. Oh, this is, when you can connect and see that, you say, oh my God, where have I been? What have I been looking at? What have I been thinking about? Well, you haven't been looking at the Quran. You're not thinking with the Quran. This is the guidance. This is how Allah communicates to us, through us. This is so very important. We're still not talking about courtship and marriage. So we wanted to talk about 04, and we do have some time left where as we can give some type of insight in my true love recipe, 26 letters in the English alphabet. I have not used any Islamic terminology purposely, because Imam Muhammad said, if you have something worth saying, you should put it in a universal language. And originally, I was thinking about non-Muslims, where I could give a message that they could relate to and not have to explain Islamic terminology. But I would be speaking from the Quran in regards to these what I call natural ingredients, organic ingredients, ingredients being qualities and characteristics that are in the recipe of what true love is. You notice it said true love, because see, love has different meanings for different people. But Allah says he will put the love and the mercy. And when we look at that in Surah Harum, which is the 31st Surah or chapter of the Quran, and the 30th chapter and 21st verse, and we see that what God says, he says, among his signs is this. He said, among his signs, in other words, among his, the many messages he gives is this. And I think he says that about 7 or 8 times when you read that, among his signs, among his signs, among his signs. So God is just saying, among them, these are all signs or instructing signs and messages. He said, I have made for you. Like God says, this is what he has made for you from those that he has created. Mates of like nature. He's telling us. But you have to find that mate. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to find that mate for you. Now, I mean, you can ask Allah to be a managing partner in your life through the Iskahar prayer. The Iskahar prayer is actually some of the contents of the Iskahar prayer is when you're trying to make major decisions, you want to incorporate Allah. I think Sister, the priest of Hadith, is saying that incorporate to be able to activate, to applicate. You know, yeah. And so you don't want to do that by overlooking or looking over Allah being Al-Alim, the all-knowing. And in the Iskahar prayer, we're stating, oh Allah, you're all-knowing. You know and we know not. And this is one of the first steps in terms of actually getting some type of knowledge and insight to know that we are limited. Allah is not limited. You know, he's As-Samad. That's stated in Ikhlas that he's the eternal, no beginning, no ending, but he's absolute, not in need of anything. He's independent of everything. He created everything that we see and that we don't see, but he's not in need of anything in the creation. How about that? He feeds, but he's not fed. He neither sleeps nor slumber. We have to do all that. Even if we said we want to stay up all night for 3 days, 4 days, your body is logical, biological. You sit down, and I guarantee you, if you haven't given your body the proper amount of rest, you'll slump over and fall over. I know I've done it before, and some of you probably experienced it too. Even though we might not be logical, the body is biological. It is going to get what it needs. It has rights over you. Even if you don't treat it right, give it the proper rest. Sit down and haven't had the proper rest or sleep and see what happens. I didn't know I was going to fall asleep like that. Yeah. You were being illogical. You're going to work for 3 or 4 days in a row and not give any rest. Body said, oh, no, that ain't happening here. You see? So Allah has said in Harun, he said that among his signs is this, among his messages is this, that he has made from among those he created mates of like nature. Here's the key. You say, oh, I like that person, but are you to like each other? You can like somebody, but are you like them? And are they like you? In other words, is there similarities? We better still, commonality. Words in analities play on the word reality. The reality of what do you have in common? Are y'all like each other? In other words, do you think alike? The compatibility is going to be based on that. You saying up and they saying down. You saying right, they say left. You say good, they say bad. There's no commonality. You're not even like each other. You don't even think alike. Totally different. So where is the compatibility? Because you have to live and work together. But you're not like each other. See, this is all that's there that's in this communication in terms of message. Because at the end, Allah says, verily in that are signs, instructing signs and messages for those who reflect. All you got to do is just take it slow, read it slow, and reflect on what God is saying. Just in a good expression. And you're only really reading the Quran when you're reading in the Quranic Arabia. But with a good expression, you can still get insight. You can still get a profound message and not the mess, because you're just overlooking and looking over what God is saying. And then when he says, of like nature, that you may be permitted to dwell, to live together in tranquility. That's in accordance with the rest of the creation. Just look at the rest of creation. Is it in chaos? Is it disorderly? And you have to say, no, not what God created. But man can produce chaos and disorder and even violence. But we see peace and order, and we see beauty in Allah's creation, and that's what it is that Allah wants us to have, too. Mm-hmm. Very, very important. He wants us to have that. But we're only going to have it with the right mate, and he's telling us that. That he created many, but all of them are not for you. And then who are you? It goes back to, are you a God-conscious person? Are you conscious regard for God's word, will, and way? Is it operating, I think the priest was, is it operating in your life? Yeah, we have to assess ourselves. Is it operating in your life? If the answer is no, then you can't be the same as the person where it's operating in their life. You're not going to have the same income. You can have a shared background. But that person have extrapolated from the background and have evolved themselves from that. They're not held back by their past. And that word past, P-A-S-T, pain again stops transformation. Past was painful. P-A-S-T, pain again stops transformation. It stops your transformation. You'll be stuck. No matter how much you want to go forward and everything, past continues to come up, 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 and it becomes like a crutch. We don't even realize. We blaming everybody. That word blame, I learned from Imam Muhammad, when you have that B in front of L, when you say black means to be lack, to be lacking. Well, blame is the same thing, to be lame. But to tell my children, don't come blaming somebody for what you didn't do, for putting it on other people. You have to be responsible. You see, you have to be responsible. Even if you have a setback, it says a setback is nothing but a setup for a comeback. It's true. Who haven't been set back in their life? But how are we going to look at it? Are we going to continuously look at the past as a place of residence, or is it going to be a reference point? It only can be, if you're going to move forward in your life, it only can be a reference, not a residence, because that's heavy baggage. You won't be able to go far. It's going to cause you to slow down, retard your progress, your evolving, your growth and development. Because that makes us feel better. It excuses us from our transformation and the lack of information to bring about a reformation in our life. This is very important. I'm hoping you're taking good notes here tonight because this is designed to give us some things that maybe we haven't had in terms of tools to work with. So, in looking at that and completing this ayat, which is a very, very powerful ayat, then God says that you may be able to dwell together in tranquility. But those prerequisites only will enable you to be able to do that. But if you are not of like nature, you might like each other for a while, but you're not like each other. You're not like each other. You see, the one don't mirror the other one don't mirror the other. You're completely different. You're different in your thinking. You see? So compatibility is the ability to be able to live and work together with little or no. Difficulty in terms of doing that. There is always going to be some things in terms of difficulty in the Maya Oth or the Yutho. Surely with the difficulty or the challenge, then the relief. But the relief, that comes through going through that is tied to your belief. And we ask the question, do you believe in Allah? Yeah, I believe in Allah just like you believe in Allah. But in the sacred institution of marriage and also even in the individual life, but do you believe Allah? Now, this brings the Quran in the picture. Because you only would say, I believe in God. Then the average person you meet in the street said, you believe in God? Yeah, I believe in God. But do you believe God? You have to know what God is saying to say, yeah, I believe God. I believe what he has revealed. I believe his instructing signs. I believe his message. And I strive to live that life. In other words, it's the ingesting and digesting and then the application of that. It comes in that order. No other way. Yeah, and then so then when you pray to God in terms of a du'a for those who new shahadas, it just means that you're asking and requesting something personal for yourself or for others. And that's fine, too, because Allah answers all prayers. Maybe not the way or when you want. And we don't pray like some of our Christian brothers and sisters telling God, right now, Lord, right now. Who are you talking to? You don't tell God right now. So that's the difference in terms of al-nusma, in terms of really knowing that the names of God is that he's the one that knows and we don't know. And he knows when, you know, when we are ready for something that we can handle what it is we ask. Sometimes we ask for things we're not ready to handle. But who knows it best? You or God? God knows best. You know, sometimes we think, I'm ready. As you have a song years ago, Are You Ready? Some of us not ready for what we ask for. That's why they said, be careful what you ask for, because you might not be ready for it. That's very important. So what we need the Quran is a gauge, it's a barometer. And then God goes on to say that he will put the love and mercy. Why mercy? Why mercy? Because mercy is a prerequisite to be able to forgive. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to make errors. We could commit sin. And most certainly we're going to have some shortcomings, meaning coming up short. So you have to have mercy in your heart and compassion in your heart to be able to forgive. Just look at Ramadan, how it said that it's broken up to three parts. First 10 days, mercy. Second 10 days, forgiveness. Third 10 days is actually liberation, emancipation, deliverance from what? The fire. What fire? Not the fire that is given for the next life, but the fire of our own passion, our own passion. And Imam Muhammad say that if you can be delivered or be emancipated, liberated from the fire of your own passion, then that would take care, help you take care of the next life. You see, whatever that is said outside yourself, there is something inside yourself that's a likeness there. Everything in creation has its counterpart in man. Everything in creation has a likeness inside the human being. So there's a fire inside the human being. And fire is not all bad, but it has to be contained. It has to be disciplined. And those five pillars helps in the discipline of that fire. Nothing more so I like in terms of Siyam, fasting in the month of Ramadan. But this is beautiful when you see it and understand it so that you can have the self-control, the self-discipline, the self-management of your own self so that the jinn can become domesticated, can become civilized, can become submitting and give its utility to the human being. There's a lot I can say about that in that regard. So then God says, verily in that are signs for those who reflect. There's so much to reflect upon in the Quran. You could take one ayat and you can reflect all day on that one instructing sign. You'd be like, oh my God. And scholars have taken one ayat in the Quran and wrote volumes and volumes of knowledge, insight that they've gotten from one ayat in the Quran. So this helps us in the Sirat al-Mustaqim, guidance in every aspect of our life. And most certainly, we should want guidance in that aspect of our life that constitutes one half. That's 50% of the religion. Now, it's not that I'm saying this. This is how important that the sacred institution of marriage really is. So at some point in our life, we really want to try and strive to get it right. Mm-hmm. It's very important. And what God's messenger has said, to really bring it home. And really it should be translated to social responsibility. The social, and this is in the very fitra. The social urge brings about the manifestation of the material existence that comes out of the human being. It's the requisition of the soul itself. Mm-hmm. All the things that have become a utility has come from the soul, has been requisitioned by the soul. Mm-hmm. And that manifestation comes about. It goes from the soul to the intellect. And the intellect carries out what's in the soul. Mm-hmm. Very, very important. That's very important. So we understand that. We could ask ourselves, what have you done for your soul lately? Are you nourishing your soul? Because this is what Allah is saying in the Quran. There's one universal soul. It's not a different soul for the man and a different soul for the woman. It's the same soul. And you can't divide that up. There's no division that's there. All those isms eradicates. Once you understand, kalakakum min nafsin wahida, all those isms will disappear. The eradication, elimination of them. See, this helps the conscious man and woman, you understand, to be able to come together and to have a healthy, harmonious relationship. But without having that insight, without having that wisdom, you see, because Imam Muhammad, he gave defined wisdom is the application of knowledge with mercy, the application of knowledge with mercy in it. So in Allah's word of revelation, there's a mercy that comes with it. Very, very, very important. Very important. So, and we look at the true love recipe in 04. We are dealing, check on my time, we're dealing with optimism. Question. See if we can get somebody to raise a hand. Would optimism be in your true love recipe? Would it be an ingredient in your true love recipe? if you were asked, give me some qualities and characteristics that begin with O, with optimism being your true love recipe? I'm asking this as a question, and I'm going to do it like this. If it would be in your true love recipe, with optimism being your true love, it's in my true love recipe, but would it be in your true love recipe? I'm going to ask you if you would just press 1 and hold it for 10 seconds. I'm just doing a little mini survey here. I'm at 5. I'm at 10. I'm hoping that you're just participating here. That if optimism be there, just keep it there. Now, I'm going to ask my engineer, did we have any participants if optimism would be in their true love recipe, if it would be in their true love recipe? Remember, this is a recipe, so what's in my recipe don't have to be in yours. So did we get any participation, the priest of Hadi?
Yes, we did, Brother Mark.
Okay. Now I'm going to ask those who press 1, if you would like to just share, just in general, you don't have to say why it's in your true love recipe if you don't want to say that, but if you would like to say why it would be in your true love recipe, you say, because we're talking about true love. We're not talking about just love. It's a dictionary given in Western society and just reduce it to almost little or nothing. People just throw it around. I love you. You love, you know. But they don't even know what the ingredients is. I want you to stay in the queue. Just keep your hand up. But if you don't want to say anything, you can just press 1 and go out in that regard. But I would love to hear from you. You know, if optimism would be your true love recipe, whatever you like to share in general or specific, why it would be in your true love recipe. So the priest of Hadi, do we still have any hands up in terms of that?
Not at this time, Brother Mark.
Okay, everybody. Okay.
They came in and went out.
They came in, but they went out. Okay, it's good. It's all good. They was just, being compliant with what I was asking. So that's good because you actually communicated with me because you participated. So, you know, it's fine. You don't want to have to say why it would be in your true love recipe because we know that optimism is a positive thing. You're looking on the bright side, the bright side of things. There's just some people are just pessimistic. And pessimism, actually, whenever you see them, they always see something negative. There's no day that's be a good day. Yes, DePresa, you have something.
I'm sorry, Brother Mark, I hadn't closed my mic, but you know I'm over here like, and this is true, you know.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead, DePresa. I mean, talk to me. Would optimism be in your true love recipe?
Absolutely, Brother Mark. You have to have optimism. You have to have optimistic mindset in a relationship, or it's not. It's just going to be chaotic. There's going to be a lot of noise going on all the time. You know, just be, and you can't. You know, come on, like no, baby, you got to do better than that. Go to the Quran and read a little bit more. Ask a lot of them to move that from you. And, you know, that's the way we have to instruct that type of behavior, you know. Otherwise, it would just interrupt life in its own essence.
You said a mouthful, you know, there. And sometimes when it's absent, when it's not part of the true love recipe, actually doom and gloom. Can actually set in. Even in terms of taking that step, you have to be optimistic, and it has to be sustained and maintained as a key ingredient. To see that there is a favor. It's something that is a positive, but also something that is needed and necessary for the progression of the relationship. How far does a person that's pessimistic go in life?
Mm-hmm.
Just think about it. If we have a mentality and a disposition that we bring that is pessimistic,
mm-hmm.
always thinking negative things, always suspecting, always got negativity going on, and so obviously the results and what they get is not going to be the same as a pessimistic person. An optimistic person. The same, it won't be the same. And we've actually seen people that was optimistic, and not even in terms of relationship, but in terms of having success, maybe economically and business-wise, because they was very optimistic in that regard. But that optimism can and should be carried in the relationship, too. Optimism. And so in the true love recipe, it should be a staple, an ingredient that's there. And then I always ask the question when I have couples on, would it be in your true love recipe, and why? And if not, could it truly be a true love recipe? Could it really truly be a true love recipe with optimism being absent? There's something else you want to say there, the preside?
I don't think so, Brother Mark, but
it's fine, but when have things like this have actually been introduced to us to be able to look at what it is that our soul desires? Our soul desire true love. Our soul desire to want to be loved, and our soul desire is to give love. This is in the fitra, in the original nature. We see this in the life of the baby. We see that attachment that the baby has. First and foremost, we see it to the mother. And then if the father is performing his role and responsibility, we see the attachment. We see the bonding. And as a wordologist, you might want to write this down. It's a gold nugget. Build on natural development. And if it's bonding, build on natural development in new growth or nurturing new growth. This is very, very important, you all, because we want to see the bonding. But if there is something that's not naturally developing, then you won't be able to build on that in nurturing the growth of the relationship. Optimism is needed and necessary. It's a key ingredient. But when, once again, if the shaitan begins to start to influencing our thinking, our mental attitude and disposition, optimism leaves, if it was ever there. Faith leaves, if it was ever there. It dissipates. It goes away. And then pessimism sets in. You see, this is how we can turn all the way around. And we not even know and recognize that. We not know and we not even recognizing that optimism is a key ingredient. It produces the positive thoughts, the positive attitude, the positive disposition, the positive behavior, and what it is that we have to do. Pessimism, just the opposite. Well, I could say a lot more about that, but inshallah, you will see it in book form. And so the other thing that we have in that is observance. To be observant. How important is observant? I'm gonna do this little mini question here, if it would. Would being observant, as it is in my true love recipe, very important, observant, would it be in your true love recipe? It don't have to be because it's in mine, but would observance be a quality, a characteristic that you would want to have in your true love recipe? So I'm going to ask those just to participate like you did the last time. You don't have to say nothing if you choose not to say anything. But how important would that be to you to have observant, being observing in your true love recipe? I'm going to ask you to press 1. Just hold it for 10 seconds, and I'm counting now. If being observant would be in your true love recipe, and if it would be, you understand, why would it be? You can say that to yourself. You don't have to say it to me or the radio listener, or if you choose not to. Would it truly be true love without being observant? And what is the importance of observing? Okay, so hold it there. I'm at 5. Press 1. And I'm at 10. Did we get any participants this time? Would observing be in the true love recipe to anybody? Press 1 for this or not? We did. Okay.
We did.
So once again, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. So if you like to share something just in general, why it would be, why that would be important to you, because you, when you look at it, this being a natural ingredient, a key ingredient in true love, then you look at how would it look if we wouldn't observe it.
Mm-hmm.
So we know observing is like we want to see. So if that's the case where you would love to say something, then stay with the 1. If not, then you can press 1 and go out. So, all right, the priest of Hadi, anybody stay in the queue that would like to share something with us in terms of observing or being?
I'm sorry, go, please finish that.
No, I want to know if there is still anybody that's still in the queue that said that it would be in the true love recipe, being observant or observing.
Yes, sir. We do have a hand that
okay.
participated. We had a,
just open it.
More than
open
one, more than one thing.
That's all right. Mm-hmm. Open their mic. We want to see what they have to say, what they want to say.
Yes, sir. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. State your name and where you're calling from. I think I know.
You actually lied.
810-347.
Yeah, yeah. Say that number again, the first. Go ahead, the number again.
810-347.
Okay. Sound like a Flint number. Go ahead. Don't be shy. Take yourself off of mute. You might be on mute. Take yourself off of mute so we can hear you.
Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam. Yes. Who are you and where are you calling from? Am I right in terms of 810 Flint, Michigan?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Alhamdulillah. Yes, go ahead. Go ahead and... you're saying that observing and being observant would be in your true love recipe. Can you share with us why it would be? And then if it wasn't, could it really truly be true love if you weren't observing and observant? Talk to us.
Yes, sir. I appreciate the story you told earlier about the Prophet, alayhi salam, and what he was going through. And it just seemed to me that his first wife wasn't that observant of his character. So she left out, the biggest role is to, you know, make him look good and a reflection of herself, you know, and being positive and everything. So, you know, that's what I got out of this story, you know.
Alhamdulillah. No, you're absolutely on point. You on point, my brother. I said, Doc Beer, Allahu Akbar. See how you, Allah bless you to be able to read into that. She wasn't observant, so she wasn't appreciative as she could have been had she really been observing as to who he was and what he was striving to do. So you can't really appreciate. You know, she couldn't really appreciate her husband. Whereas the second wife was observant in terms of what he was doing and saw the good in him. So, you know, in terms of having that in your true love recipe, you want to be able to observe to see if, in fact, your relationship is actually evolving or is it devolving. You see, however we're going, that's how we're growing. You could be going backwards. You could be regressing instead of progressing. But if you're not observing, you won't have a sense of where you're moving to. Are you moving closer to the goal, the destiny that Almighty God, Allah, has for us in the sacred institution of marriage? Or are you regressing? You see, so it's a whole lot that I could say. I just wouldn't have time to say all of that. But observation and observing is essential. It's like, okay, observing is seeing. Ain't nobody looking. And do we hear this type of saying all the time? We just grew apart. You know? But if you have been observing, now you understand that this is actually keeping us together because... Mm-hmm. As the priest of Hadi just said a few minutes ago, say, hey, let's read the Quran. Let's see what God says about this. Let's do this here together. Wow. You see, the only way Allah can actually be and stay in our life is that we continuously invite him in terms of being a managing partner. Oh, this is so very important. But most of us don't know how to do that because we got our own mindset in terms of how we think, how we feel, our emotions, our own opinions. And this is what Shaitan wants us to do. He wants us to forget about guidance from God, that we don't remember. And this is what happened to the first of the human being, Adam, when he forgot. He slipped. See, so alhamdulillah. Thank you so much, bro. I mean, anything else you'd like to say before, because we're right at the top of the hour. Anything else you'd like to say before?
No, sir, not at this time, but I just like to make a comment that it's a, you're making a great point here, and it's a great show, and keep up the good work. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Oh, Shukran, thank you so much, my brother. That's very encouraging to hear from you to say that. And, you know, as a host of a show, you always want to know that it's resonating with somebody. And I really appreciate you calling in and saying what you say because that is inspiration and motivation to me to continue to do what it is Allah has blessed me to do. I see this is part of my mission here in life. So I pray Allah that it is pleased him. Thank you so much. And please continue to listen in and call in. Appreciate you. Okay. Thank you so much.
Wa
alaikum as-salam. All right, press 1, and you can go out the queue. And we're right at the top of the hour. Do we have any other? I don't want to leave anybody hanging, the Prisa. Do we have any other?
No one hanging, and we got 30. Well, you know how this works.
I know. Okay, so alhamdulillah. I want to thank our radio listeners for tuning in, listening in tonight. A special thanks go to those who was able to stick and stay and not go away. Pray Allah that our special guest facilitator, Khalida Akbar, she's doing okay. Family is fine and everything. We say I mean to that. And a special, special thanks go to my sister and my friend, the priest Abdul Hadi. And I want to just say that she helps me out second hour. And Rashid Salam, with special thanks go to him in terms of engineering, because without them, I wouldn't be able to get on with the courtship and marriage learning lab. I'm not able to engineer for myself because of the challenge of my vision. But through Allah's grace and favor, I have two persons that dedicate themselves to helping and assisting me, and I truly, truly appreciate it. I don't take them for granted, and I really appreciate them. So a special thanks to both. Yes.
We appreciate you too.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. The praise and thanks belongs to Allah first and foremost, because we love to be servants. We love to be servants of Allah, and I know that the priest of Hadith, he loved to be a servant of Allah. You know, the more we learn about this, the more humility that we actually have in this way of life and everything, and it's such a good feeling. That saying in terms is better to give than to receive. Those who are servants of God, we can actually attest and bear witness. It's better to give than to receive. You have a good sense of feeling when you're given something that you believe. And sometimes people will let you know that what you said resonated with them and it actually has helped them. This become encouraging, like our last call, this becomes encouraging. Keep on doing what you're doing. Keep on giving that information. And where else can you go to get this? I want to say to our regular listeners, in terms of our engineer extraordinaire, the priest Abdul Hadi, she is a very distinguished, esteemed host of our sister station, that's AM360. That stands for American Muslim 360. Each and every Saturday, she hosts an outstanding production called Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. And this is exactly what it is. The focus is on Al-Islam. And it's a learning lab where you can bring it to the lab. It's designed for what she refers to as new shahadas, and I like this, seasoned shahadas. Those that might have been in the community a long period of time, they can actually benefit because there's so much information, education, that in the religion of Al-Islam, this is where you can go, you can tune in, you can listen to the information, education that Allah has blessed her with in bringing to the community. And she, like myself, she invites you to ask questions and to make comments. And she like to know that what she's given is resonating with you, just like any host. You know, we have to come out of that crab in the barrel type attitude. We can call up and say, Assalamu alaikum, I'm really appreciating what I'm hearing. It's resonating with me. Thank you so much. May Allah continue to bless you. Assalamu alaikum. That ain't difficult, y'all. Imam Muhammad said, we strange people. I listen to other radio shows, and they'll come on. Thank you. George, I really appreciate this. This is good information. I didn't know that. Keep up the great work. I'll be tuning in. How come we can't do that? What's the problem? You see? So we need to do that. So tune into Al-Islam in Focus Learning Lab. That's each and every Saturday on our sister station, AM360. And it's each and every Saturday evening. I'll just say Saturday evening because it starts at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. And it is 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. So whatever time zone you're in, that's how you take it. 5 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Central, and 2 p.m. Pacific Coast Time. I have to get that. This is kind of still relatively a new time. But tune in. You won't be disappointed. There's going to be something. I guarantee you, when that learning lab is over, you're going to learn something that you didn't know. So it's going to be worth going to it. Tune in to our sister station, AM360, with the priest of Hadi. And we want to say the beat goes on here on IWDM Radio, as tomorrow is Salatu Juma Day Muslim worldwide. Those who are immobilized can't get out and about. You can come back to IWDM Radio with Imam Michael, a.k.a. Mikhail Sahir. I know he's down in Florida, Orlando, Florida, But as always, a kutbah, so I'm quite sure it'll be a guest khatib. It happens each and every Friday starting at 2 p.m. Eastern. It's 1 p.m. Central and 11 a.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And Saturday, the new production, it is called the Muslim Book Club. Yeah, you heard it right, the Muslim Book Club. And once again, the host is the very distinguished Imam Mikhail Sayer. And the first reading is a two-book volume of our honorable First Lady and mother of our community, that's Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the mother of our nation. That's what it's called, the Sister Clara Evans Muhammad, the mother of our nation. This is these two books, once you pick them up and begin to start to read them, you won't be able to put them down. You ever had a book that you really just love so much, you start reading it and say, man, I can't even put it down. You don't want to do nothing else but read that book. That's one of these types of books. So that's each and every Saturday. Is relatively a new production here on IWDM Radio. It's each and every Saturday. It starts at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central. It's 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time each and every Saturday afternoon right here on IWDM Radio. And the longest running production on IWDM Radio is Words Make People. Sounds familiar? It's actually the thing with this year's Time to Be Grateful that's going to be held in Newark, New Jersey. But this happens each and every Sunday afternoon, once again with Imam Mikhail Sahir, and it begins at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's high noon Central and 10 a.m. Pacific Coast Time, so please tune in. I don't know whether it's going to be live or it will be a replay, but whatever it is, it's going to be informational. It's going to be educational, as all these productions are. The beginning of the week, my good brother and friend, Imam Nazim Pasha, he hosts a production called ABC, like 1, 2, 3, but it's Al-Islam-based conversation. Yes, that happens each and every Monday here on IWDM Radio. It begins at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And it is 3 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And we move to Tuesday. And that is, once again, the distinguished esteemed Rashid Salam, who was my engineer in the first hour, his off-returning guest, Instructor Abdul Shaheed, the Science of Your Health and You Learning Lab, the Science of Your Health. Yes, you are human creation, and it is a science. And for health, there's a science in terms of maintaining and sustaining health. So this is a learning lab. You got to bring your pen and pencil. There are a lot of different terminology that is used, but a lot of great information and education each and every Tuesday. Tune in for that. It starts at 7 p.m. Eastern, and 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And Wednesday, it's the Sister Learning Lab 2, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. That would be the Parenting and Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we have Dr. Patricia Smaldeen out of Miami, Florida. She joins yours truly, Mark Shaheed, for the Parenting Family Reconstruction Learning Lab, where we teach what correct parenting is from an Islamic base, and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. That should even just pique your curiosity. I want to know about what parenting is from an Islamic perspective and how to reconstruct the destructive family life. You think it's all destructive and it's done and gone. But no, we're going to bring information and education to show how we can reconstruct that by God's revelation. So tune in each and every Wednesday starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, and 4 p.m. Pacific Coast Time right here on IWDM Radio. And following that is the MGM Roundtable. That's the Muslim Global Message Roundtable that's hosted by yours truly, Mark Shaheed. As I always like to bring and present to you very distinguished, esteemed guests inside the community of Imam W.D. Muhammad, outside the community, and topics that are pertinent to us as a community. And that's each and every Wednesday, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern, it's 7 p.m. Central, and 5 p.m. Pacific Coast Time, right here on IWDM Radio. And you just heard it live here each and every Thursday, the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab, just celebrating its 8th anniversary last week with yours truly, Mark Shaheed, as the host of it. as we teach what is the do's and don'ts of Islamic courtship and what constitutes a healthy, harmonious marriage. And we own the true love recipe, so we do ask you to return next week, and inshallah, perhaps we'll have an outstanding couple that's been married for a period of time that will give their marriage narrative, and then we will engage them in the true love recipe. Want to say last but not least, make sure you keep your subscription to the Muslim Journal, as it has been the lifeblood of our community for many, many years. And if you have the wherewithal, think about a family member, a friend, a colleague, a neighbor, maybe a pioneer in your community, or maybe your local library where many can read the Muslim Journal. And we want you to know that IWDN Radio, we do support this year's Time to Be Grateful. They'll be held in Newark, New Jersey, the new home of the Muslim Journal. So please get your registration in, and so you won't be deliberating and hesitating and procrastinating, and then you find out that there's no more room. The rooms are filled to capacity. Yours truly, inshallah, I plan on being there and would love to be able to meet and greet some of you who tune in here on national radio, IWDN Radio. So with that being said, once again, a thanks to all of you who tuned in for the Courtship and Marriage Learning Lab. Hopefully you learned something from it. And a special thanks once again to Depreza Hadi and Rashid Salam. So until next time, this salam is for you and yours. May God's peace be with you now and always. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
It's because